You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Normally, I let y'all know when we are doing morning prayer at the beginning of the service, because here at the 910, you kind of have to grip that bulletin with all you can to hang on for all these words that we're standing and sitting for. But we are doing morning prayer today, and it's interesting. I was talking to somebody who talked about going to church during the pandemic and not being able to have the Eucharist, communion. And during morning prayer, we don't have communion. And it's kind of like, did I go to church and was it a successful church if I didn't take communion? Was the conversation that came up with this person, which is totally, totally fair. But these notions of kind of success and what things should look like swirl around us. It comes out. I taught in at an Episcopal school for a time with a lot of middle schoolers, and I would hear them say certain things that I know that their parents would raise an eyebrow about when it comes to maybe what they wanted to be when they grew up or how they saw their lives going. Retiring as the greatest grocery bagger HEB has ever seen might not be the thing that a parent would want, or the most sought-after dog walker in Central Texas, or the greatest mini-golf player in North America. Now, don't hear me denigrating this work. Mini-golfers do a lot for our communities, as you well know. There is good and honest work in what I mentioned. But I can't think of many folks, parents, or if you love somebody, even talking to someone as an adult, where they talk about their life and there's something maybe in the back of your head that's like, oh, I don't know if that's what I totally want for you, or I don't see how this will come into fruition for you. And it comes into our lives kind of specifically in this reading that we heard from Matthew. Tell me if this sounds like success. Mourning, being poor in spirit, being weak, being persecuted. Does this sound like success? The question that is always hanging around our heads is, what does success look like? How do I know when I'm there? And how can I get there? And even if it's not something that we acknowledge out loud, it sits with us. And it's like the waters that we swim in. We don't totally know it's there. And there's a problem with this obsession with success that we all are a part of, and whether or not we kind of know about it. And it's especially a problem when we come to church and we, like so many people I hear from folks, they expect a type of God or they expect a type of Jesus that is going to be, I kind of put this term, there's a 1984 film, The Terminator. They expect Terminator Jesus when they come to church. They expect that he is going to say that he's out to get you, that he can see through walls and know what you are doing, that he knows your inner thoughts, and that there's just jump scare after jump scare in your life whenever you should be praying to God. But so many people, I think of Jesus as this way. And especially when we combine it with how to be successful, it creates this really big, deep, heavy anxiety in our lives. But Christians have for a long time talked about what success is and what it looks like, what it looks like for a follower of Christ. Because there is one very important perspective that we just heard today from Jesus himself about how things look a little upside down in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5 begins with this opening, begins with the Beatitudes, the blessings. What a blessed life looks like. Jesus, like Moses, like all the good teachers of the people of Israel, goes up onto a mountain and he sits down and he talks to his followers. And he goes to a mountain, like a real mountain, not like a Texas mountain. And when he's up there, thank you for the few of you. There's some real hardcore Texans out there that are like, we got mountains. and you do. But he talks about what it means to be righteous, what it means to be holy, what it means to live a good life. Because ancient people are still people, and they had questions that we have. Like, what does it mean and what would it look like if God cared about me? What would go away if I was blessed by God? How could my life be better? Just as today, people want to know what God is going to do for them. And kind of along with Terminator Jesus, we have this I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back kind of God that we think exists in our mind too, that we are constantly trying to please. But that is not what we see when we have this opening of the Sermon on the Mount. What we see is what Jesus starts with are these blessings that look like curses. Poor in spirit, a true believer would know what to know and would never have any doubts or questions. Mourning, buck up. People don't want to hear about your troubles because we all have those same troubles. Are you meek? The powerful of the world are the ones that actually get things done. Do you want righteousness and justice? You can go find it for yourself. Are you merciful? Because the weak are the ones that can't stomach the reality of the world and make those hard decisions that some people know need to be made. Pure in heart, you're a hypocrite because everyone is not pure in heart. Nobody is pure. Why make peace when you can dominate? Why be that person to be stepped on when you can be the one who's in charge? So why does Jesus talk about these blessings, these words of blessings that are upside down? Why would Matthew leave this seemingly unedited version of a sermon in his gospel? Is this what we are supposed to want when we are following Christ? I can remember feeling like reading Matthew in prior years and reading this passage in particular and asking the question, am I supposed to pray to be meek? Am I supposed to pray to be mournful? Am I supposed to pray to be poor in spirit? Because those are already things that I feel. Those are already things that are a part of my life, at least. But what Matthew details in these Beatitudes, they are not things that we step into, not the pinnacle of faith that we eventually get to. These are not God's strongest battles for God's toughest warriors. These are, and hear me now, where God finds us. God finds you, God finds me, God finds all of us poor in spirit, hoping for a sign, hoping for any sign that we are seen, that we are worth something. God finds us mourning. We are mourning loved ones. We are mourning days that have gone by. We are mourning those days where we used to be able to stop drinking. I don't know what it is for you, but we are mourning something. God finds us meek. God finds us feeling small and insignificant, powerless. God finds us searching, grasping, groaning for justice, and not being able to find a speck of it anywhere that it should be. God finds us in need of great mercy, in need of great mercy for ourselves and for others. God finds the faintest of desires to be good, that small desire to change, to want to walk towards change. And God finds us hoping for peace. The Beatitudes are in no way this end goal of following Jesus. They describe us, where we are, when God comes to meet us. And it is God coming to meet us and not us going to meet God. So many times in our lives, we are trying to impress the people around us. We put out the nicest china. We set out the best bottles. I'm shoving things into the closet and under my bed when people are going to come over to my house so that people will respect us, love us, see us. But Jesus says that you are blessed when you aren't impressive. Jesus says that he comes like a thief in the night, meaning he catches us with his mercy and with his grace unawares before you can shove things under your bed and into your closet. Blessed are you when you cut your thumb with new knives. Blessed are you when you're exhausted from work. Blessed are you when you remember that you haven't called your mom back in a couple days and now's the time. This is where God meets us. God meets us in this mundane part of life, in these simple things, bread, wine, water at baptism, oil when we are sick. These simple things show us that even the basic parts of life are made holy by this God. Jesus has the authority to teach life. He has the authority to give life. And this is what Matthew gives us today. Christ has the authority to look at me, to look at you, to look at y'all, and say what is loudest in our minds. that you are a failure, that you are out of control in how you're acting, or that I can't get, I'm lonely, I can't get my meds straight, I can't do anything right or say anything right to my children or the people that are around me. I make mistakes. Jesus has the authority to hear and to know all of these things, and to know that you need that grace and say, I am with you, I see you, and you are blessed. You are blessed when God meets you right now, here, all with all the freckles, all the moles, all the poorly covered up parts of ourselves that we think only that we can see. Rejoice and be glad is at the end of those Beatitudes. Not because we have to become something. Don't rejoice because we have to become something, but rejoice and be glad because God is here and God is governing all things on heaven and on earth, mercifully hearing our prayers for peace. So often I talk to people, and I, in talking to them about coming to church or coming back to church, they talk about this destruction that they expect from Jesus, this destruction that they expect from the church, this destruction from a priest or pastor. A lot of it's caught up in some type of religious trauma, which is totally legitimate and all valid. But it comes up especially when I meet people outside the church for the first time and they discover what I do for a living. And yesterday there was a wedding at St. Albans, which brings in a lot of outside folks generally, people that don't always come here. And when people ask me what I do, it's a very interesting thing. It's a good way to kill a conversation, actually, I've learned. But they'll usually, when they find out what I do for a living, they'll either tell me, I haven't been at church in a really long time, but I'm going to start going soon. I'm like, thank you. Cool. That's nice. And it is nice. But they also will start looking for the drink line or something else to go do when they discover that I'm a priest. To get out of that conversation as quickly as possible. They expect destruction. They expect judgment. They expect anger. It's the Terminator Jesus. It's the Terminator God who has all the tools to hunt you down, all the tools to know who exactly you are down to the bones in your body and to know that they are coming for you with weapons. But what we hear in the Beatitudes is not destruction, but a description of a God who meets you, of a God who meets you and me in all of our ways. Christ comes not to destroy life, but to give life. And life in abundance. Rejoice and be glad are not words of death, but words of life. He is the God of the living, not the dead. This God looks at us, looks at you, looks at me, and knows who we truly are, and calls us blessed, still calls us blessed, and meets us with grace and mercy. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, teach us to know you, that we know that your Son is with us. And we pray all these things in his holy name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.